Aloha und herzlich willkommen zu Stay Salty, dem Podcast für alle von euch, die so wie wir nicht genug kriegen können vom Surfen, vom Salzwasser und vom Reisen. Ich bin Nora, heute ausnahmsweise wieder mal ohne die Steffi im Studio, dafür aber mit einer Spezialfolge. Wir switchen heute nämlich mal auf Englisch im Podcast. Warum? Ganz einfach, ich habe einen waschechten kalifornischen Surferboy zu Gast, direkt aus Malibu eingeflogen, extra für Stay Salty. Ja, das war jetzt ein bisschen übertrieben. Eingeflogen ist er nicht extra für uns, sondern für seine Freundin. Aber mitmachen will er trotzdem, was mich sehr freut. Welcome to our podcast, Cole. Thanks for coming. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, learning this Austrian world, and it's totally, totally opposite to what I'm used to. I'm honestly loving it. It's beautiful and looking forward to this little podcast.
Let me explain how I got to know you. Your lovely girlfriend, Molly, she's a work colleague of mine, and she told me that you're visiting from Malibu for 2 weeks. And I said, oh, how cool is that? I always wanted to talk to a real Californian surfer dude. So fast forward, here you are in the studio here in Linz, and we're recording this podcast episode. Cole, I was thinking about what to ask a Californian surfer who literally grew up with the ocean in his blood. You live, you told me, I think 20 minutes from the beach and you go surfing nearly every day. When did you start surfing, and would you say it has always been part of your DNA?
Absolutely part of my DNA, I would say. Something that I count as like what grounds me. Every day is, you know, I'll get off work, and even if there's no waves, I enjoy just going down there, catching the sunset, watching the ocean, going on walks, and, you know, just being around it. For me, it's kind of very grounding, kind of holds me to what I was raised with, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mountains, ocean, I love that combo.
How many surfboards does a guy like you own?
So between my family, a lot, I would say. My own personal, I'd say about 10.
Boards, only yours.
That kind of vary from, you know, a longboard, which is, you know, totally different, where you kind of like slow day, super small, to like a fish on a smaller day just to kind of like mess around, to a shortboard when it's a little bigger. So they're a little different, every board. But
And what's your favorite style of surfing? Do you prefer shortboarding or longboarding? Or
my favorite style is called like a mid-length. So kind of like a middle ground between a longboard and a shortboard. And I'd say a mid-length is pretty much the all-around best board for me, because, you know, in Malibu, you don't always have the best waves. And it allows me to kind of like grab a board and no matter what, get some bum ones.
But you said in Malibu, you don't always have the best waves, but everybody here in Europe thinks, oh, Malibu, it's only for surfing, so it's not true?
I would say it's not always, you don't always have surf there. So, like, end of the day, you go down there, and if you expect something, you're not always going to get it.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a treat when you get it really good, makes it that much more special. But I think that's part of the surfing hunt, is like, as you go, you don't know what to expect. Yeah. Sometimes you go down there, it's windy, sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not as good. All in all, I'd say like it's the whole experience of like going the ocean, getting wet, resetting your day. For me, after I work a long day, like jumping in the water, surfing or not, is like resetting. Mm-hmm. And if I am able to get some good waves out of it, ultimate day. Like, for me, that is amazing. Like, I love that.
You teach surfing. What's the key to success when learning to surf, in your opinion?
I think mentality, going at it with a good attitude, is number one. So if like people are not in the right mind space, so a little nervous, that's their number one thing limiting them. If you're able to go at it with like a good mentality of excited, I want to learn, and you're able to let go of that fear, that's the most important thing, because then you can go at it and give it the full chance that it deserves.
Okay.
If you have like a fear, like a lot of older people have, I'd say, it's a little harder to start it, because you are very much like, you're overcoming all these things that most, like a young kid doesn't have those fears. So when you start young, it's so much easier, because as you get older, you have more and more things that you're like, maybe nervous about, a little more scared to do.
And thinking about maybe.
So, yep.
Okay. When did you start surfing? At what age?
For me, it was, I'd say about 5 to 8, somewhere in that range. My dad kind of threw me on a board. I started to get exposed to it. It wasn't until I was like able to drive and do it on my own, though, that I really found that like love for appreciation, I'd say, for it. Because when you're younger, you take things a little more for granted.
Yeah.
I was able to go down there and just, you know, enjoy with my family. And you don't realize like how good it is. But then as you get older, you start to appreciate the smaller things.
So your family, they all surf?
Yeah. So I have 2 brothers and my dad. My mom, she's the only one that does not.
Oh, okay.
But she honestly loves just watching us being at the beach, enjoying us enjoying. So my brothers, my dad and I, it is our favorite thing to do together. We love it. Mountain biking and surfing is our combo. Surfing is ultimate though, because if you get a good wave, it is so rewarding because you have to earn it. It's not like you can just go ride a bike down a mountain. Always is going to be there. Surfing is not always there. So
you're living the surge, as everybody says. Okay. What would you say, what was the most amazing experience you had? Do you remember one special moment?
There's so many for me. I would say, you know, if I'm going to pull one, you're going to ask me tomorrow, it's going to be a different answer. Because I've done it for a good amount of time to where they all, I wouldn't say one overtakes another, but for me, I'd say one of my favorites was a Nicaragua surf trip with my dad, where we got really lucky to get amazing waves that were, I'd say about 10 to 12 feet. So
wow.
Maybe like, what is that? Like 4 meters?
Yeah.
Something like that.
4 meters. Yeah.
So that is perfect for me. Anything bigger, I don't need it. It becomes a little life-threatening. That is perfect.
It sounds life-threatening for me.
So that was amazing. And that was at this spot called Playa Colorados and Ponga Drops. And that's in Nicaragua. Very third world country. You have to earn it. So you get off the plane and it's hours and hours from where you're at the airport. And it's all dirt roads. You really get to experience the whole third world country culture. And when you get there, there is no civilization. It's just a beach town, little huts. And that was, I think that whole combo of that trip was amazing.
Wow.
And to also score amazing waves with, it was my dad and one of my brothers at the time. My other brother was a little young to do it. So that was a bonding moment for my dad, me and my brother. That was unlike anything.
Wow.
Because we got to experience so much more than just surfing. Like it was like the experience around it that kind of combined it all together.
How long did you stay there?
That was like about a 10-day trip.
Uh-huh.
And that was, for me now, like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I would love to get back over there. Uh-huh. But I think it's a little different now. It would be harder. So I would personally, I'd pick other spots because I want to try new spots I haven't been.
Yeah, sure. So we're again with Living the Surge. But
absolutely.
How did you?
It's endless.
How did you get to know about this special place? Did your dad know it?
Yeah, it's kind of like a world famous spot. A lot of professional surfers have gone there, and it has honestly just been somewhere that prior my uncle had gone with my cousin, and they had like mentioned how amazing it was. You got to go. It's super affordable. On and on and on. And their recommendation was amazing because I actually went with my cousin who'd been there. So he was able to kind of give us a little bit of knowledge that we didn't know.
Okay, cool. You told me that you had also the amazing opportunity to surf Kelly Slater's famous surf ranch wave. How was that? And did you meet the goat himself?
So I did not meet Kelly Slater that trip, but I've run into him at like surf contests and stuff. I do not know him by any means, but he is obviously the GOAT, like you were saying, the ultimate. He's won the most titles on and on. But Kelly Slater's ranch was a dream come true for a surfer that has always, you know, searched for that perfect wave. And when I say perfect wave, that is like the epitome of a perfect wave. It's like 5 feet, barrels like consistently. You literally look at a flag and you're like, red flag, the barrel's going to come, you get ready and it's there. And it's to have that consistency in a wave is really cool. So different than the ocean, though. The energy is pushed from a freight train, like basically having a wedge that pushes the water to make the wave, as where the ocean is like natural energy. So the wave from start to finish starts to die down.
Uh-huh.
At Surf Ranch, it's consistent from start to finish. So you have like 50 seconds of like a perfect
wow.
wave. And 50 seconds on a wave is a pretty good long time.
That sounds so
nice. If you surf or you've been around it, like, you're lucky to get a 20-second ride, let alone almost a minute. Like,
yeah, sure. So. Wow, that sounds so amazing. And how does it feel? You told me you were in a barrel at the surf ranch. How does it feel, you know, for intermediates like me or Steffi? How does it feel to be in a barrel?
It is the ultimate surfing feeling. So, like, I'd say most surfers kind of search for that. Obviously, a good wave is amazing. But when you're able to, like, put yourself in that surreal moment where you kind of forget about everything and all you're doing is focusing on the current moment, what's right in front of you. It's challenging because, like, it takes a lot of practice to be able to get out of there. It sounds really weird, but to get out of there is not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, I think
so. When you're in there, the lip wants to hit the board and wants to kind of, like, take you every which way. And you have to have that, like, vision to get you out. And it's, imagine, like, a little circle that you're trying to, like, shoot through like a vortex. It sounds really weird, but it is special. And for me, I'd never been that barreled other than Kelly Slater Surf Ranch. I've gotten little 2-second barrels, but to be 10 seconds in a wave and able to kind of, like, practice it time after time and perfect that is unlike anything. So Surf Ranch was like a dream come true for me. When I got invited, I was blessed, and I'd helped this family through surf lessons that invited me. And that was an opportunity that I couldn't turn down. My brother was invited as well, and I was able to go experience that with him.
So cool. You live in an area where also other famous people go surfing. You said you already saw Kelly Slater at contests, but who else did you maybe already meet in the lineup? Like, you know, maybe Jason Momoa, or do you know Incubus singer Brandon Boyd? He also surfs.
Yeah, so Marlene knows Point Doom, where she was very familiar with. There's a lot of, I'd say, like, celebrities and surfers. Like, Gerard Butler's actor that surfs a lot out there as well.
He starred Mavericks.
Yep, Chasing Mavericks.
Yeah, yes, so good.
One of my favorites, honestly.
Mine too.
So, and then just, it's crazy. Surfing in California, you'll run into, Trestles is another really popular surf break I'm very familiar with. My family, we spend a lot of time down there. You'll be out in the water and, like, Julian Wilson, Owen Wright, all these, like, famous surfers right by side of you.
Wow.
And that experience, just to be able to surf with people that are the best of the best, is pretty special and cool. And people from all over the world are constantly searching for that special wave. And the fact that Lowers is kind of an hour away from where I'm at is pretty cool to be able to go experience that.
That's really cool. Did you talk to some celebrities while surfing or...
Yeah, so, I mean, throughout teaching and all, I actually have been very lucky to get exposed to some celebrities. I was, weird enough, I got, coincidentally, I was able to teach Shakira.
Oh, so really?
Her and her two kids.
You taught Shakira surfing. That's so cool. That's
so that was an opportunity that came up, and actually, I didn't even know who I was teaching until I got there that next morning, and it, like, I was kind of, like, jaw-dropped. I wasn't too much of a fan of her prior. I didn't really, I knew her name through being famous and all, but to afterwards, I realized how special that was. I was like, oh my gosh.
So funny.
So her, and then just random other people and celebrities that you kind of cross paths with. So it sounds really weird, but very normal in California to be eating lunch or breakfast or something, or even in surfing, and run into someone that you're like, wow, that is... It's like my idol. That's what I look up to, and they're right there.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. You also said that one of the most important things when surfing for you is the mindset. Maybe you want to tell me more about that. Also, when teaching, what do you tell the people?
Absolutely. Yeah, you nailed it on the head with the mindset right there. It's, I think, step one to wanting it and getting it, because end of the day, if you come at it with a positive mindset, you are 100 times more likely to have a good time. And through that, you kind of, like, create a better chance of you getting better waves, if that makes sense. If you go out with a good mindset of, I just want to get wet, maybe get one or two waves, you'll have a good time. If you go out expecting things, you're going to be let down because it's not consistent. So if I want to go and today is going to be an amazing day, nobody's going to be out, it's not realistic because there's always people out and it's never the same.
Yeah.
So every day is kind of like a new day. So go at it with a good mindset, and, like, that's step one. Learning, same thing. Step one is believing you could do it. And if you believe you can do it, then it's normal to not have a perfect session. It's normal to struggle. It's normal to, like, practice. Everybody has to practice to be good.
Yeah, sure.
You don't just start right at a point of, like, being perfect.
No.
Like, it took me, I'd say, like, 10 years to really find that love of, like, where I'm like, now that I'm older, I love it in a different way than when I was younger. Because I didn't appreciate it, I'd say, same amount.
Uh-huh. Okay. I know it from myself, you know, a lot of times where I got really frustrated and thought, oh my God, I will be never able to do it. And also, the problem is when you're Austrian and landlocked, you only have like the holidays to practice. So you feel every year, oh, I have to start over again. But as you said, the more you let go, I also had it with myself, the more you let go and don't think about it and just try, the easier it gets.
Absolutely. And you hit it right there with the, when you say it is hard when you're not consistently doing it.
Yeah.
When you go once a month and you're able to experience it, and then 11 months out of the year, you're like, you kind of forget.
Yeah.
And then you go back and it's like, you have to restart a little. But consistency with surfing is really important. I always tell people, I'm like, if you learn and you want it, keep doing it as much as you can. But obviously in Europe, it's not as easy. So there's, nowadays I know there's more and more like man-made waves that are being made. I guarantee they're going to make their ways over here more and more.
I hope so. We have one in Ebensee. We talked about it. It's called the River Wave. So you just, at least it's a different style, technique, but you can at least try to, you know, practice staying in balance on the board and doing the turns and everything.
And even paddling, I think, is so important.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't paddle like on a surfboard and you hop on a board, it's such a struggle. It's so different than any other exercise you're doing in a gym.
Yeah.
Maybe rowing competes a little bit with it, but I always tell people, I'm like, someone that is a perfect, like, so you could have a six pack, you could be yoked, you could go to the gym every day. It doesn't correlate to surfing at all, because surfing is about flexibility, about mindset, about so much more. It's a challenge that's not any challenge a gym could give you.
How talented was Shakira, by the way? Did she get up on her first wave?
Honestly, so she is very talented. She already knew how to surf. Her two kids, okay. I was teaching, and she was alongside us. And when I say one of the nicest celebrities I've ever met, like,
oh, really?
Literally, she was genuine, actually cared about like me, asked me questions about my own life,
about
what I'm doing. It made me, I was like, made me like her 100 times more.
Yeah.
Because when someone is like that and at that level of fame, I think it's very important to be humble and very important to kind of maintain that root. And her childhood best friend, the coolest part, was with her and travels with her everywhere she goes.
Oh.
And their two kids are best friends with her two kids.
Oh, that's so nice.
So it's like a unit. And the way she explained it is, she's like, they're always with her. Everywhere they go, it's their family. They don't leave each other.
That's cool.
Since little kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What's your favorite moment when you're in the water? Is it watching the sets come in? Is it taking the wave, riding it, or simply sitting there watching the sunrise or sunset?
A blend of that, I'd say. But for me, ultimate is seeing the, I love surfing around the sunset. When, or sunrise is even more special. You have to earn the sunrise a little more. But sunsets are, I'd say, the most of what I get. After work, I'll come on down to the beach around like 5 or 6 maybe. And it's amazing to be able to be out there at that golden hour.
Yeah.
When the sun's going down.
It's amazing.
The waves are nice. Often you get this thing called glass off, where the wind kind of dies off around sunset coincidentally. And that is, I think, my favorite of all. When you have good waves, sunset, and also being out there with good people, good conversation. It's really nice. So you go to the same spots in California, you start to see the same type of people that are out there. So you'll go out and you'll know a bunch of guys. And it's kind of fun to be able to go somewhere and like feel like you know people no matter what. Even if I'm not going with my friends, I'm going to run into guys I know.
Yeah, that's cool. So. Is do you think localism is a topic, you know, when people like Steffi and me would go there, where intermediates were not very good in the waves? Would the people, like the Californian guys, would they say, oh, get out of the water, it's our space?
I think localism is, my interpretation of it is less and less every year. I think as the more people learn to surf, it becomes a little more acceptable of just, that was a way of the past, I think, more so. I don't have an issue with that. I've never had someone, I guess, kick me out of the water or something. Like, if they're going to throw a weird vibe, I'm going to just smile and tell them, like, have a good day and just keep my distance.
And it's not the surf mentality, you know, anyway, because surfers are supposed to be relaxed people and good with everybody. And
you're right about that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If those type of people, the way I see it is they have something else they're mad at. They need to get in the water to like release their steam, whatever it be. That's not at all surfing. And it's a misinterpretation a lot of people have. And I think those people want people to feel that. That way it's less crowded. But it's the worst outlook because end of the day, it's their loss because they're kind of killing that whole reason why you're surfing.
Yeah.
Like the reason to surf is to be calm, have a good time, smile, enjoy. I love seeing someone get a good wave, be happy and smile. Like I don't care if it's not my wave. I'm happy if they're happy.
What was the worst or most dangerous thing that happened to you while surfing?
Surfing is really nice in that sense. You don't have too much reason to get hurt or something. So, you know, you could be out there. For me, I'd say the worst that's happened to me is I got hit by a board and kind of like got like a cut on my head, but was nothing. And end of the day, like if that happens once in a lifetime, like so be it. But other people are what I'm most scared of. If I'm on a wave and I don't trust, I don't know what someone's capability is and they're coming at me, I'd say getting hit by another surfer that doesn't know what they're doing is probably my biggest fear.
The most dangerous
thing. Other than that, surfing is very lighthearted. It's not like dirt biking where you fall, you're going to break a bone.
Yeah.
You fall off a surfboard, you're going to like hit the water.
Yeah. So the most dangerous thing are the people who are not capable of moving the board or controlling the board.
Absolutely. Yeah. Controlling the board. Because if they are not able to control their board and big wave comes and you're right behind them and they let go of their board, next thing you know, that board's in your face. So like that is for me, like I'm always scanning the lineup and making sure like I'm going to stay away from that person. I'm going to go over here and like just kind of knowing your surroundings.
Yeah.
Some people are a little, I'd say, in their own world when they're out there, and it's natural to be that way when you're surfing, like, oh, I want to get my waves, I want to do my thing. They're not as aware of what's around them, so like you got to always look around and scan.
Is Kali beginner or intermediate friendly at all, would you say that or not?
California is a hard place to learn because you don't have consistent waves, and it's not what you said about the quote unquote localism thing. It's a stigma that people kind of have put out there that I'd say is so not true. It's the number one thing people ask me when they learn is like, oh, like, how do I know I'm not going to get on somebody's wave? And I'm like, just learn the basic etiquette as far as like somebody's riding the wave, don't drop in on it and let them kind of like enjoy it. Other than that, have a good time and enjoy. Do not worry about other people, because if you're worried about other people, they're not worried about you. They're doing their thing. They're happy. They're surfing, and it's going to affect your surf session, because end of the day, like go out to just go out and do what you want to do.
Yeah.
The second you start to worry about others, you start to like, I guess, become worried and create this like different energy.
Yeah. Where did you take Molly when you taught her surfing for the first time?
Her first time was this beach called Broad Beach, which is Zuma Beach is a very popular beach in Malibu. Just north of there is kind of like these bunch of houses, very, very nice houses right on the sand. And I was always teaching there since I started teaching back in like high school. So for me, it was a place that I kind of know very well. It's super kind of beach break, very easy. You're able to kind of push people in, ride behind them, get them the basic foundations they need. And then from there, you start to go other places that are a little more advanced, that you're able to turn down the line, actually surf.
Okay.
But beginner-wise, I love to go there for people because I know it very well. Every time I go there, I know people that are teaching. So it's kind of like my backyard a little bit.
Yeah.
And what I know, so.
Cool. You've not only surfed Kali, you said you were in Nicaragua, you were in Hawaii, of course, and Mexico. Which places other than that did you go, and what did you like best?
Other than that, I guess Costa Rica has been one of my favorites. I was a really, really cool spot I've surfed is called Witch's Rock, which is it's a very famous spot in Costa Rica. That imagine there's like a rock that is a little bit out in the ocean that you got to take a little boat out to, and the weight breaks off that rock, and it's same type of thing. You got to earn it because you got to take a boat out there. You got to do the whole experience. And it's so different than anything ever I'd be able to experience in California. Okay. That coastline the waves, the water is warm, it's clear. California surfing is cold. You have to have a wetsuit. So anytime I can be able to like surf Hawaii, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, out of the country, it's very special because without a wetsuit to just be bareback.
Yeah, that's,
I love that. That's like the ultimate surfing feeling.
Steffi and me, we're not wetsuit people. So that's why we also try to, you know, go to Indonesia or places like that.
Indonesia is on my list.
Yeah.
I have not been.
You have to go there.
I've only heard great things.
So my last question, it's a special question. You're a Californian surfer. You're good looking. A lot of girls would kill to have a boyfriend like you. That sounds maybe a little dramatic, but but it's the truth. What do you think of the cliches when it comes to surfer boys? You know, that you're all bad guys and only breaking the girls' hearts. Do you agree with that? Or
I don't think you could judge a book by their cover, because end of the day, each person is unique. And
yeah,
I think as a whole, though, maybe there's that stigma of like people not being I don't know, that like surfer boy, what you're saying right there, but I don't think you could say one person is the same as another. Okay. End of the day, like I don't compare myself to other people because I'm very emotional and soft, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some guys have a hard time accepting that, but you're too nice to say that, by the way, because that's not always true. End of the day, there is nice people in every place, and there's nice people in every sport. There's bad people in every sport, same thing.
Okay.
So, to each their own. And honestly, I love like being different, if that makes sense.
Aww.
So that stigma I want to break. And to be able to experience teaching someone surfing that is so important to me as Marlene, I can't explain, like, so special.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thanks so much for also being my podcast guest and for your great answers and for your insights into Californian surf mentality. I wish you all the best for your future and have a safe flight back to California.
Oh, thank you so much. I enjoyed being on this and I look forward to continuing to listen to your podcast.
Thanks.
Even if Marlene has to translate it.
Yeah. We'll see about that. Maybe we'll do some more English special episodes.
Hey, you should. Yeah.
Wenn ihr Fragen an einen waschechten kalifornischen Surfer habt, Insider-Tipps wollt, zum Beispiel auch für Kalifornien, ich verlinke euch gerne Coles Kontaktdaten in den Shownotes. Ansonsten freuen wir uns natürlich auch wieder über Feedback von euch und lasst uns unbedingt ein paar Sterne da und abonniert unseren Podcast gleich noch auf Spotify, wenn ihr gerade dabei seid. Also dann, bis zum nächsten Mal. Aloha und see ya!